How many of you guys realize how powerful families are? It is the most powerful institution on the face of the earth. And the enemy has come after the family to total annihilate the family. Amen? We see that not only in the world, but in the church as well. An all-out assault upon the family between husbands and wives. And I told you last weekend that I'm a product of a broken home, and I know exactly what it is to see men come in and out of the home that say they'll never leave, but wind up leaving. So I know how important it is. Whenever I got married, and I've got two boys, 11 and 8, and I know how important it is that they see their dad, they see their mom loving on one another. The boys, every time I kiss Dana, they gross out and, you know, make the puking noise and everything else. But you know what? At the end of the day, they will honor us. At the end of the day, their life will be stabilized. They will have an example of how a husband's supposed to love their wives and wives their husbands. And so a lot's going into the families more than what you're verbalizing. Amen? We communicate and we give examples to our children most times, more than not, by our attitude, by how we communicate between husband and wife. And it's important that we understand those things. And I want to talk to you today about teachable moments. How many of you guys want to be taught? Got teachable spirits here today. Good. All right. For the other three of you, you guys are dismissed. You guys can go on about your way. Can somebody turn these lights on right here? There should be. There you go. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Now, Deuteronomy, what's happening here is Moses is giving his farewell address, if you will. They're on the verge of going into the promised land. They're right there, and Moses is about to transfer power over to Joshua, and he is writing this. He's giving this to the children of Israel. He's giving them decrees. He's giving them laws. He's giving them how to possess. He's giving them all the instructions that is needed to go into the promised land. And Moses is speaking here in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." Verse 43 or 23. "But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised an oath to our forefathers." Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the preaching of your word. I thank you for your anointing that is here today and is evident, flowing and moving amongst us. God, I thank you for guiding my words today, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a young lady that was learning golf. So she decided that instead of going to straight out into the golf course and playing for the very first time, she would go to the driving range, which is quite the opposite of what I did. I went and started playing, which probably not a good idea. But she went out for a month and she learned what the driver you know, about the driver, about the wedges, about, you know, all these different irons and woods and so forth, and what they did and the distances and all that. But she still was terrible. So her father-in-law said, "I want you to come out with me," and he's a seasoned golfer. He said, "Come on out with me and we'll play. It's time. All right, you can only do so much on the driving range." So she reluctantly said, "Okay." So they went out in the very first tee box. He goes out and he drives his on the fringe, and perfect, just right down the fairway. She gets up and she hits it, and it's called a burner. Goes just on the top of the grass, and it goes about 75 yards. So he drives the golf cart over there, and she gets out, and he tells her what club she should use. And he gets out and walks over to her, to his ball, and he stands there. So she takes aim, and she stands there, and she draws back, and she hits it as hard as she can, and it makes a hard left right to where he's at. How many of you guys have ever been knocked off your feet before? Well, that's exactly what happened to this guy. All right, and as she hit it, this is what she did. She went, pow, and she saw where it was going. She goes, oh, and he was knocked on his feet, and she ran to where he was at and helped him up and was dusting the grass off of him, just barely grazed just real close to his face. And she goes, "I'm sorry, but I would have warned you, but I forgot what number to yell." And how many of you guys know that 4 is what you're supposed to yell, right? She said she was so caught up in the moment that, I mean, things happen so fast that you don't have words for it. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh. I do that a lot with my kids. But they get into all kinds of stuff. Yesterday, Christian, he was taking our dog for a walk, and our dog saw a rabbit. And so he was holding on. And Christian pointed her head toward the rabbit because he wanted to see what she would do. So Mika obliged and showed him what she would do. So he held on with a death grip and off he went. And of course, Christian's a big boy now. He's 11, almost 12 years old. He's a chunk. And he knocked him off his feet, and I went, oh. And the dog went after the rabbit. And as soon as he fell and the leash, we have one of those things, retractable leashes, where it's automatically. Well, it fell and started bouncing around everywhere, and Mika stopped. And she waited for him, which I thought was awesome, because normally she'd just run off. But sometimes things happen so quickly that you don't have words. And she forgot what number to yell. And so she had forgotten because she's new at what she does, at this golf thing. And so how many of you guys know it's important to remember? It's important to remember. Whenever the children of Israel, every time they had an accomplishment or a battle won, or when they were wrestling with God, they always set up a monument to remember what God had done for them in the land. Amen. Back in those days, they didn't have books. They didn't have printing presses. They didn't have mass printing and all these different things. What they had to rely on was their fathers teaching their children the exploits of the Lord. Amen? And it was passed down from generation unto generation. That's why the Bible, when it says it's going to pass down, this promise is not only going to be for you, but your children and your children's children. And the reason why he says that is because the Lord is telling them, remind your children, teach your children. Don't let them forget the exploits of the Lord. Don't let them forget the faithfulness of God. Don't let them forget the time when I parted the Red Sea. Don't let them forget all the battles that were won. Don't let them forget that I brought them, you guys, out of Egypt, out of 400 years of tyranny. Don't let them forget who I am. It's important that we not forget what God has done in our life. Amen? Because when we forget, we erase what God has done. When we forget, it no longer becomes a testimony, but it becomes terror. All we can think about is the terror of the situation, and there's no words, and we forget that God is faithful. We forget in our times of tribulation and our times of sorrow that God is with us and He's never left us. He's always at our side. Sometimes we forget. And God says all throughout His Word, do not forget. Do not forget. It gets to the point where, let's look at it again. In verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Listen how he explains. He's very explicit about how he wants you to remember these things. He says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7, impress them on your children. What does impress mean? It doesn't mean oppress. It doesn't mean beat them with the word. Sometimes as parents, we want to beat them with the word. We want to work the word over their life instead of allowing the word to work over them. Impress simply means, how many of you guys have ever been, something has impressed you in your life? Something has made a lasting impression on your life? That your wife, your wife, and it's important whenever you are impressed that you not only harbor that in your heart, but you share it as well. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. And when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. In other words, he is saying, in everything that you say and do, if you have problems communicating God with your children, if you're having problems communicating your faith to your children, let them see it in natural circumstances, in its natural environment. Let it come out in your attitude. Let it come out in the way you talk to your wife. Let it come out in the way you discipline your children. Let everything that you say and do speak the gospel. Amen? I heard a man say that I speak all the time, I witness all the time, and when I have to, I use words. He, in other words, let your life speak the gospel. Amen? Bind them on your wrist. Put them on your forehead. Write it on the doorpost of your house. Let it be known that your house serves the Lord. That you and your wife honor the Lord. Because look, if you have trouble talking to your kids about the Lord, how many of you guys walk with your kids to ball practice, or you walk sometimes down the road, or you're taking them down the road to whatever practice that they have or whatever, and you're in the car, talk to them about the goodness of the Lord. Listen to me, your kids know that there's problems in your home. Can I get a witness? Kids are not dumb. They're not stupid. They know when moms and dads are fighting. They know when pressure is in the house. The kids don't need to know everything, but what they do need to know and what they are watching is how you handle yourself in those situations. Amen? That's how you talk to your children. That's how you speak to your children about the Lord. Let them see the grace of God in your life. Let them see the goodness of God in your life. Let them see the peace of God in your life. And when stressful times come into your life, and trust me, they will come. If you're breathing in here, you've experienced stress already. And if you've never have, let me just encourage you, it will come. If Jesus was not spared the pressures of this life, neither are we. Amen? If the very Son of God has pressures in this life, so do we. But it's how we handle ourselves in those situations speaks louder than anything we could ever preach from a rooftop. Amen? Our kids don't need our preaching. They don't need our soapbox lectures. What they need is for a godly man and a godly wife to rise up and be all that they can be, because the next generation is counting on you. You see, what we get into our mental thinking is that our lives are compartmentalized. We Americans are very good at that. We set our emotions over here in this locked box. We set our hurts over here in this locked box. We set our relationships over here in this locked box. And we don't open them until we say it's time to open it. We're so compartmentalized. We never let anybody in. But our kids need to see. Our kids need to see how a godly man and a godly woman handles adversity. Amen? They need to see how a godly man and a godly woman handles success. They need to see their mother and their father tithing. They need to see their mother and their father giving, not only of their money. Anybody can give money. Even the widow gave a mite. But they need to see their mother and father sold out for Jesus, active in their church, enjoying Adventure Week. Amen? Little plug. But listen to it again. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. How many of you guys sit at home? Some of us a little bit too much, right? I encourage you, use those times as teachable times. Use those times to sit down with your kids. Some of you say, look, my kids are grown up. It's never too late. It's never too late. But we don't have kids yet. Then honor one another now. Honor one another now. Speak to one another now in loving manner, as in a manner that loves and honors the Lord. Because what you're teaching yourselves now, you will teach to your children when you have them. Amen? What the way you honor, see, Dana and I, we didn't have a concept of this when we first got married. We almost killed one another when we first got married. Not true, but we had trouble just like anybody else. And I thought that I was ready to be a husband. I thought I was ready to be a father. God knows what I'm ready for and what I'm not ready for. And the concept of, and I wish somebody would have sat down with us and talked to us about the value of words, the value of honoring one another. I was still treating her like my girlfriend, and I would invite people over to our apartment, and we would play cards all night long. Well, she was part of it too, but the thing is that she wanted out of that dorm room life, and she wanted me to be a husband. And it took me a little while to come around. I tell you guys way too much. But it wasn't until I began to understand the value of honoring my wife, the value of honoring who she is, that our relationship began to change, and her honoring me and respecting one another. And that honor and respect spilled over into how we raise our kids. If they say anything cross whatsoever to her in a way that is unbecoming and tickles my ear, they know that there's instantaneous repercussions, because I will not have my wife dishonored in my house. Amen? Amen. I will not have my wife dishonored by my kids or anybody else that comes into my house. Why? Because I love that woman. That woman's God's best for my life. Husbands, that's the way you treat your wives. That's God's best for your life. And when you begin to treat your wife in a manner that speaks, that's God's best for my life, God couldn't give me anybody any better, then your children will begin to see it and they'll follow suit. There's something powerful about a man being in the home. It changes everything. I know that because I grew up with no male whatsoever in the house. And I know how important it is, and I instill into my kids all the time to honor their mother, to honor their father. And when we're honored, we honor them. Amen? Amen. We don't just give them anything that they want. Christian's into flying helicopters. So I bought him one for Christmas a few years ago, and it was like $40. He mastered the art of flying that helicopter. Last year, he wanted a helicopter, a $100 helicopter. And I said, son, you're 10. I don't think so. And he said, Dad, I'll save. I'll buy it myself. And I said, all right. He saved $100 plus the tax and bought it himself. Now, do you think he takes care of that helicopter? You better believe he takes care of that helicopter. He doesn't let anybody touch that helicopter. That's his helicopter. All right? And he's good at it. He's really. We were in the mall last week, and he saw another helicopter. It was like $240. And I said, that's your own thing. You just calculate how long it's going to take to save it up, because Daddy ain't buying it. Daddy's not buying it. But the Bible puts a premium on speaking to your children, on binding the things up on your wrist. In other words, put it in plain sight, your devotion to God. I used to paint homes for a living, and whenever I go into homes and give estimates, sometimes the sheetrock wasn't up yet. And I could tell the people that sometimes that were Christians, because what they would do is, before the sheetrock went up, they would put verses all over the every door post. They would put a header. They would put scripture everywhere, on the floors, everywhere, anything that had to do with God's promises, family, everything. They would write it everywhere, so that scripture would always be in their house. And that's what the Bible is saying. Don't just write it on the doors. Make it part of your DNA. Make it part of your family structure. Make it part of everything that you say and do. Because your kids will follow suit. Amen? They will follow suit. You know what? It's a promise from the Lord that if we train up a child in the way it should go, it will not depart from it. I'm praying that over my boys. God gave me a specific word to pray over my two boys. And those two words, I pray over them all the time. They don't understand what it means, but one day they will walk in what it means. You know why? Because I'm praying for them. Because my wife's praying for them. There's something huge, something powerful about a praying husband and a praying wife. It surpasses all powers on the face of the earth. There's nothing more powerful than a praying husband and a praying wife praying over their children, asking God for the best over their kids. And you know what? God will give it to them. Even though they may act like brats at times. You stick around my boys long enough and you'll find out they're not perfect. They can be wily just like anybody else. But one thing that I will do is I will make it plain and I will make it clear that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve Him faithfully. Amen? Amen. Now, Deuteronomy, I was telling that in prayer this morning that the word Deuteronomy means it means repetition of the law. Repetition of the law. Now, when I was in school, if I was studying, I never got it in just one reading. I had to have repetition. Had to be repetition to me, that whenever I got up, that's what I thought about. Some people can just, you know, I see it, I don't need to think about it anymore, I've got it. But me, I had to work at it. I had to work to get my B's and A's and occasional C's. But you know what? I worked at it. And it was because of repetition that I was able to remember. And that's why the Bible says that we are to study the Word of God, to show ourselves approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the Word of truth. Church, the only way that you can rightly divide the Word of truth isn't just by occasional reading. It's by constant devotion to His Word. Considering His Word higher than any other word. Considering His authority higher than any other authority on the face of the earth, or under the earth, or above the earth, or in heaven, or anywhere else. That His Word is supreme, and it would behoove us to hide His Word in our heart. That we should study His Word so that we would be a workman that is approved, that can rightly divide the Word of truth. Amen? It is important that we learn how to rightly divide the word of truth, because it's the word of God that we live and move is in His word. His word has supremacy over our life, and what we understand of the word we can claim over our families and our life. Amen? So it would behoove us to understand God's word. That scripture is not just talking about pastors and teachers and deacons and all these different people to study yourself approved. He's talking about you. He's talking about you rightly dividing the word of truth, hiding the word of God in your heart so that you might not sin against Him. It's important that if you haven't been studying the word of God, study it to show yourselves approved. Amen? Because what you're studying not only affects you, but it affects your wife, it affects your kids, it affects your relatives, it affects where you go to work, it affects your boss, it affects every person that is in a circle of influence that you have. It affects everybody. That's why we don't need to compartmentalize our faith. Our faith should have no boundaries. Write it upon the door frame of your life. Write it down on your attitude. Write it down on how you perform at your job. Write it down on how you respond to adversity. Write it down on how you treat your children, how you have joy in adversity. Write it down in the times that you're straining to succeed. Write it down. Make it plain so that your kids can have a front row seat of what a man and woman of God is supposed to look like. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, this world, this media is feeding millions, and let me say that, billions and billions of dollars just to attract your kids' attention. I heard this this one rocker guy, he's from, what's it called, Insane Clown Posse. All right? This guy, he's known for taking liquor, putting it in his mouth, and spewing it out into the crowd, and people love it. Saw this video on Insane Clown Posse, and little kids as young as 8 years old were going to their liquor-driven concerts. And what they do is they dress up like a crazy clown. And they're thrashing about doing all this music and everything. And the lead singer of this band said this. He looked into the camera and he said, "What do you have to say to the parents of this generation?" And he said, "If you don't train your children, I will." If you don't train your children, I will. If you look at all the advertising and all the media and stuff like that you see on TV, it's geared for the young. It's geared for the small, for the kids in this generation. Not so much toward us, but toward the kids. Our culture is after the attention of our kids. So it would behoove us, it would make sense that we be the first ones to influence our children. Amen? That we get them to church. And let me say this. Parents, our children's leaders and myself and the kids and the leaders back there in the nursery and everything else are poor, poor substitutes for you. Poor, poor substitutes for you. I can preach the word and the ex back there can teach your kids and have them yell and back there in the nursery and all this stuff, they can color and talk about Jesus, but all of those are poor examples compared to you and your example. We're here to back you up, not raise your children. Amen. We're here to back you up. We're here to support you. We're here to reinforce what you've been teaching your kids, but we can't raise them for you. Amen? Yes. There needs to be a time and a place in our life where we rise to the occasion, where we say, enough is enough. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Even whenever I feel oppressed, when I feel like that I haven't had a victory in the Lord in a long time, that does not make Him less faithful. That doesn't make Him less of God. That doesn't make Him less Lord. Amen? Because our troubles can consume us. And sometimes it can be part of our DNA. And sometimes, how many of you guys have ever been around people that brag about their troubles? My granddaddy, boy, he was that way. I'd call up and I'd ask for my grandma, and he'd answer the phone, and I'd hear his voice, and I'd go, "Oh man, hey grandpa, how you doing?" "Well, I ain't doing no good." That was his first line to me. "Well, I ain't doing no good." Now remember, I'm from the South, all right? "I ain't doing no good, boy. I got this going on, and I got that going on, and I just don't know if I'm going to be around long enough." And one day I said, "You know what, Grandpa? You're probably right. You're probably not going to be around much longer." And he goes, "You want to speak to your grandma or what?" And I went, "Yes, I do." If you call people on their negativity, they'll change the subject. And sometimes they get into this braggadocious thing where they're talking about their troubles and talking about their physical problems and everything else, and they're putting them on the throne room of their life instead of the Lord. And so it's important that in all the things that we say and do, whether we have had no victories in the past month or two, or whether we haven't experienced peace in a long time, we're still serving Him faithfully. Amen? Because listen, our troubles and our emotions, they're fleeting. They come and they go. They're as shifting as the sand. Yesterday we went to a beach down in Algoma, and we sat there and had a great time. And I sat there, and I put my feet on the edge of the water, and the waves came in and it washed sand all around me, and I watched it change every single time. That's our troubles. They change. They're fleeting. They never last. You know, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Amen? And you know, more times than not, the things that you worry about never unfold. So, I encourage you today, put Jesus at the top of the list. Put Him up there. Write it on the doorpost of your house. Bind it around your wrist. Write it across your forehead. Impress it upon your children that you serve the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Impress upon your children how to overcome. Impress upon your children how to be good givers, not only of your money, but of your time and your talents. Because I'm going to tell you, the church needs your talents. The church needs your testimony. The church needs your time. The church needs you. We are less because you're not here. I don't say that as a pitch to come to this church. I say it because it's a reality. Sometimes we have come to the conclusion and live under a lie that nobody would miss us if we were gone anyway, that I don't have much to give. You're wrong. Each and every person has a part to play, especially right here at New Freedom. Amen? You have value. You matter. You belong right here. Amen? Don't go anywhere. I will find you. I will find you. I'll Google you. Chase you down. Listen, I told you that whenever we first came here, I don't want you behind me. I want you right here beside me. Because we can lock arms that way. We can go through things that way. Amen? So I encourage you today, listen to the word. In Deuteronomy, verse 6, write them down. Tell the kids your story. You know, my dad passed away back November 7th, this past November. It's one of the most devastating thing in my entire life, because my dad was like my hero, still is. And whenever he was suffering, and he suffered a lot, just is bad. And I remember the day that he died, he had three nurses in his room and they were cackling because of stupid stuff he was saying. Just because that's who he is. And I remember my dad setting me down. He said, "Son, I want to tell you some things." And he told me some stories I'd never heard before. And he said, I want to share with you one of the most depressing times of my life. And I thought it would be the moment that he found out that he had all these different diseases in his life. And I thought he was going to talk about his health. But he talked about a time when he shamed his mom. And he said, "I embarrassed her. And I got fired from," he said, "I got fired from the boat." Worked on a tugboat. And he said, "I got fired for some things that I had done." And he said, "You know, the most embarrassed time that I've ever experienced in my entire life was getting off that boat and having to face my mother. Because I knew that it was going to bring shame to her. And it broke me to pieces. And I never knew that. He never told me that." And he said, I want you to know that, because he said, "I loved my mother and I honored her and I tried to make right that situation, and I believe that I did, but I wanted to tell you that. I wanted to confess that to you." And he told me other stories and talked to me about old adventures that he had when he was a kid and stupid stuff that he got into that I never heard before. That's some of the most precious times I ever spent with my dad, is in those moments. But let me encourage you, don't wait till your deathbed to speak those things into your kids' lives. Speak them into their lives every day. Use teachable moments to impact and impress upon your kids the goodness and faithfulness of the Lord. Use the most humiliating thing in your life to bring about God's glory. Because when God gets the glory, we can impress that upon our kids. We can impress that upon their lives so that they will never forget. I will never forget those stories that my dad told me. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Don't wait. Start today. And you grab your kids out of what they're doing, but it sounds like they're exploding stuff. But when you go back there, start immediately. Talk to your children, because if you don't, the media will. If you don't, their friends that you don't know about will. They'll impress upon your kids what is right and what is wrong. Amen? So I encourage you, talk to your kids. Don't be a stranger in your house. Don't let your wife raise your kids all by herself. Amen? Amen. Last thing I want to talk to you about is there was a guy. His dad was his hero. Lived in Germany. He was a Jew. And they went to the synagogue faithfully. Faithfully. His dad was bigger than life. Well, they were forced out into another town for safety. And there was no synagogue there. There was a Lutheran church. And so his dad abandoned his Jewish faith to go to a Lutheran church. And he asked his dad, he said, "Dad, I'm confused. I don't understand why you're doing this." And he said, "Because it's better for business. It's better in my business if I go to this church. We will prosper if I go to this church because there's influential people there and I'll prosper." Well, that tore this kid all to pieces because he knew that was wrong. He knew it was wrong. And because of that, him and his father had a split up until his dying day, and it changed the way he thought. It changed to his whole demeanor. And this kid growing up, his name was Karl Marx. He was the founder of communism. And he said that he got his ideas, he got his influence from his father. When he stepped away from his faith to go somewhere else because it benefited him financially. Parents, I want to tell you today, don't sell your faith out to the highest bidder. Let your kids see that God is the God of your life. He is the Lord of your house. And that you serve Him and Him faithfully. Amen? Amen. Don't sell your faith out to the highest bidder. Let your kids see what a man and woman of God looks like. Because I'm going to tell you, this world is going to try to show them what a good time and what relativism and what everything else it looks like. They're going to tell you that, hey, love is good. All the sins of the world are relative. You're okay, I'm okay. Your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Don't tread on me. No. Our kids need to see the way, the truth, and the life in you. And no other place. Amen? Let's all stand up. Let's all bow our heads. Father, I come before you and I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are our supreme example of what a father's supposed to be, what a parent is supposed to be. And I thank you, Father, for your word in Deuteronomy that tells us that we are to, in order for the next generation to remember your faithfulness, we are to bind them around our wrist and put them on our foreheads and write them on the doorposts of our home and talk about them when we're sitting down and when we're rising up and talk to them as we're going down the road to teach our children the goodness and the mercy and the love of the Lord. That their heritage is not what they receive upon our death, but their inheritance is what they receive from us, teaching them the love of God, teaching about Yahweh. So, Father, help us to be good stewards of our homes. Because, Lord, in this life, there's so many avenues that are pulling against our kids, pulling against us, pulling families apart to the point that there's sheer annihilation in the home. And I pray, Father, that there would be moms and dads that would shake off the dust of disappointment, would shake off the dust of bitterness, would shake off the dust of resentment. And we'd be focused upon our families. Because, Lord, if my home falls apart, I don't know how I could think. I don't know how I could react. I don't know how I could live. And so, Father, I place myself as a watchman on the wall to guard my family, to teach my boys the importance of serving the Lord, to teach my boys the importance of being men of their word, to teach my sons how to treat a woman. So, Father, I commit my house to you. Father, I speak over this congregation to each and every family. Maybe you're a single parent. You're doing it alone. It can be done. Listen to me when I say this. It can be done. Listen to me when I say this. It can be done. God is with you. Write it upon your forehead. Strap it on your arms and your wrists. Put it over the doorpost of your home. Teach your kids, single parent, how to love the Lord. Read to them in their beds. Speak to them about the victories in your life. Share with them how you overcome. Teach them, impress upon them the importance of serving the way, the truth, and the life. be a woman of God to your son, to your daughter. Live a life of no compromise. Because when your children grow up and they're out of your home, your influence will dictate their life. It will forever shape and mold how they view things. Teach them how to honor the Lord, church. They're our greatest asset. So, Lord, we come before you today, and I ask you, Father, to help us to rise up to the occasion, to teach this generation, to teach our home about Yahweh, to teach our home the value of serving the way, the truth, and the life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There'll be no other God. There'll be no other Lord. There'll be nothing higher. I will serve you, Lord. Pray over your meals at home. Pray over them at night. When my kid's 18, I don't care. Pray over them. Pray over them. Let them see your tears. Let them see your passion for them. And more important, let them see your love. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to raise my boys. Thank you for the opportunity to raise children. I ask, Father, that you would help us to be good stewards of our home. Be good stewards of our house. Father, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Deuteronomy. Thank you, Father, for teaching us to be repetitive, to constantly keep the word before our children. Lord, give us the wisdom and the understanding to guide our homes. Lord, we love you. We praise your holy name. May you be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church.